We worship the King of Glory, amen? Amen, all right. Hey, let's get up and say hi to someone, maybe someone you haven't met before. Go shake someone's hand and say, I'm glad you're here. Good job, guys. Thanks, guys. All right, God bless. Good job. How are you? I can't speak up. I'll be all over the place. Guy. Good to see my man. Good to see you. Now, that's an awesome PowerPoint. All right. I don't know. I have no idea what that is, but that's awesome. All right. So here we are. Okay. All right. So, man, thanks, worship team, for leading us again. Man, it's just amazing. Just worshiping God, what God has done in Christ. And that's what we've been talking about in this series. And what's our theme this week? I mean, this year, I should say. What's our theme? Let's pray, right? So we started the year off on let's pray, and then I kind of want to work into that, a little series on worship, because prayer and worship are so connected. And something that I've been trying to look more into, because I'm not much of a musician. I try to sing and all that, but how God wants us to worship in song. And I hope you enjoyed Danny last week. We had a brief hiatus in the time, and Danny is a good friend of mine, and we're going to get back to our series here on worshiping. This is the last part of the series in worship. We'll start something new next week, but worship in song. And so, as I reminded you the past few times, worship is not just singing. It's also preaching. That's a form of worship. It's prayer. It's just a public reading of Scripture. Simply reading Scripture is an act of worship if we have the right hearts and minds, and just us coming together and being together. And good fellowship is also worship as well. So these are all forms of worship. Now, my riser is shaking. There we go. Okay. All right. So last time we looked at worshiping in song, worshiping with music, right? And just a couple points to review because it's been 2 weeks. First of all, we can only worship if God has revealed Himself to us. How do we know how to worship? Well, we just can't make up the way we worship because God requires, because He's God, that's who He is, a certain form of worship. If we worship God in the wrong way, He wouldn't approve of that. So God has revealed Himself to us, and we call that Scripture. He's revealed Himself to us through the written word, and then, of course, through Jesus Christ in the flesh, and we know about Him through the written word. So God has revealed Himself and how we're supposed to worship Him through the Bible. And also, we were created to worship. That's our whole point. We were created as human beings to be in relationship with God, to love Him, to worship Him as Almighty God, as loving, as perfect, as holy. He's the perfect Creator who came down, died for my sins, has risen again, and gives us life. And we're to worship Him as God. And so what compels us to worship? And this is also a review. What drives us to worship? Ultimately, it's the climax of all. It's the climax of all history. It's the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And He did that for us. So that compels us to worship. And so today, you know, when we sang the last song there, we sing. We sing because Jesus Christ has bought us. He's bought us with His blood from death. He's redeemed us. Jesus Christ came down, and He lived a perfect life where we did not. And He still died. Even though He didn't deserve to die, He died to take our sins upon Himself. Our death upon Himself. He died the death we should have died, but then He rose again. He rose from the grave to conquer death and to offer new eternal life to all who believe. And He gives us new life right now in the present. And that's what compels us to sing. And that's what drives us to sing. That's the foundation. If you don't know Christ as Savior, you can't truly praise God because you don't know Him as your Savior, as your Lord, as your friend. As God the Father, as we sing, come to the altar. You don't know Him as Father because you haven't given your life to Him. As Deacon Tony prayed, you have to say, I'm a sinner before a holy God. I've sinned against Him, and we all have sinned, and we know it. Deep down, we all have black marks, and we have lies and deceit, and some of us think we've sinned in big ways and small ways, but we're all sinning against the holy God. That's why Jesus came. He loved us so much that He gave His life for sinners. And the fact that I'm saved from death, I'm saved from hell, I'm literally saved from hell, Man, that makes me rejoice. I get to live with God forever, and it begins now. He sends his Holy Spirit into me. And man, I just want to praise the Lord. I want to praise him. And when I'm struggling, like Christians still struggle, we can still come to our Father, come to the altar. That's what we just sang about. Why can we do that? Because Jesus Christ took away our sins and gave us his righteousness. That's why we can come. We can come to Christ. We can be with him. And we can worship him. That compels us to sing. And so we sing the gospel. And now today, I really wanted to focus up. I didn't have time to finish last week. I really want to focus on how do we sing now as a community, as a church? Man, I feel like I'm like on a light stage, you know, like concert going, right? There's lights up here. No, it's good. You guys are probably testing it out. It's good. So today, I really want to focus on how do we sing in community, Of course, we got to start individually. I know Christ is my Savior, those of us who are Christians, so I want to sing. I can't help but sing. I want to praise the Lord. I want to tell him. So if I'm in my car driving, man, sometimes, you know, this past week's been really nice because the weather's been nice. Just kind of roll down the windows, you know, kind of, you know, sing, enjoy the, you know, a lot of times when I drive, I like to take out my iPhone, listen to a nice podcast because I like to listen to news or a good sermon. Sometimes this week, though, I'm like, hey, I just want to put down the windows, enjoy the breeze, kind of. And then, actually, guys, this is interesting. Through this series, I've been much more aware, am I singing, not just in church, am I singing myself during the day? Am I singing with my family? And this has been good for me because it's been focused, it's forced me to say, hey, am I singing? Because God has created us with this ability to sing, to use our voices in wonderful ways. And God desires worship. We saw that last time. He had the Old Testament priests who are skilled in singing and music and instruments. He created us with his creative ability to sing. And man, I've been much more aware, am I a singing Christian? And you know, it's something about singing that can change your heart, right? It's, you know, I can pray, which is good, I can pray, but then when I start singing, sometimes that lifts my soul out of the mire, right? Whatever I'm dealing with, the struggles, it kind of lifts my soul up when I sing. And so, try that. Or sing in the shower, right? Good acoustics in the shower, right? Just, you know, sing anywhere, but you can sing by yourself, all right? But let's focus on today. We sing in community, all right? So we sing in community. First of all, our church family. This is remember, we're a family. We're brought together by God the Father. He's adopted all of us into his family as his children, those of us who believe in him. And so we sing as a church community, but I like the word family because we are a family in Christ. Look at this passage here from Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, 16. Paul says to the church of Colossae, let the word of Christ himself, his words dwell. I'm going to use the word in us richly, knowing Christ through scripture. But we teach and we admonish one another. And so we do that in Sunday school. We do that Sunday morning. Fellowships. We teach. We admonish one another in all wisdom. And catch this. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And this should be regularly ongoing in the church. The word of Christ, that's the foundation. We got to know Christ, his attributes, and that helps our singing, our lyrics that we write. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns. And so we teach one another. And part of teaching, actually, when we sing, like when we sang this morning, we're actually teaching ourselves and we're teaching each other. So not just me up here preaching, but also when we sing a Christ-centered, good biblical song, we are teaching truths about God. And so we're teaching. So I know, you know, hey, in your fellowships, you know, and all of us, let's try to be singing people. Let's sing. Let's sing to the Lord. Let's encourage one another with songs. And it's something that can lift our hearts up. So not just in worship, but in everything that we do, let us sing. And that's an aspect of teaching. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, chapter verses 19 through 21. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, we address one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with our hearts, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we sing to each other. Amen. A godly biblical church is a singing church. It really is. And some of you are, you're better at this than me. I am. And you guys are already, some of you are great singers. And we sing, though. We sing psalms out of the Word. We sing scripture. We sing spiritual songs that we write. We make melody to each other. And so we are to do this. We're to encourage one another with psalms and hymns. It's a teaching element. It's also just worship. And we love each other. And so we want to encourage each other to continue to boost our ability in the Lord to worship Him in song and then encourage one another with singing. So, hey, even some of you, I know, meet for like just small accountability groups. Sing a little song before you begin. We always have prayer, but hey, get your hearts right. Can I hear an amen? Singing usually just gets your hearts right, right? Or even if you're feeling sad, and sometimes there's some songs called a lament. Even part of that song we sung today, you know, even though we're weeping. You know, sometimes life is tough and we lament together, but we're still going to follow the Lord, right? We're still going to sow the seeds of the kingdom. We can cry together. We can sing songs together. And so, man, just think about when you're together, start off, just do one song. If it's a small group or something, just do one. I know LSF, we try to do like three hymns. We just start off LSF with three hymns, pull out the red hymnal, and do it. And so it encourages us, right? And we're singing people. And remember, we are unified together in one spirit, one mind in Christ. Holy Spirit unifies us together in Jesus Christ. And we show that unity with one voice when we sing. When we sing, we show that unity. You know, it's not like Leo's over singing one song and Joe's singing something else. We'd be like, that's crazy. No, we're all singing to the same God, the same words. It shows this wonderful picture of unity. You guys should try that. Let's see, like when this side sing this song, that would be very unscriptural, and I'd throw you out of the church. No. it shows that unity together. Now, I mentioned this before, but now, when we walk in and when we sing in the morning here, as we sing, also, it's okay to be aware of the people next to you. In fact, we should be in some sense, because we address one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so, I'm thinking, man, I'm thinking to myself, I want to worship God, but I also pray, whoever's standing next to me, right, if it's Deacon Tony, I pray that these words are true in Deacon Tony's life. So as you're singing, and it'll help your focus, right, not to be so distracted, pray as well. You know, pray through the words. I'm singing this. Oh, like, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. I pray that be true for Lauren, right, or Karen. I'm also praying as I'm singing for my heart, and that helps us as a community. I'm like, oh, let this be true for the people sitting next to me, these words, and it helps us have more of a communal experience, right? You know, sometimes we come to church and we sing, and it's like, you know, like a horse at the, at a race, right? Like the Kentucky Derby, and they have the blinders on. You know, the horses, they get in the gate and they have what they call the blinders on their eyes because they're just, look ahead, don't look next to you. But that's actually not what we should be doing when we're singing. It's not just us and God and my little thing, time here, and yeah, there's some people on stage and I'm just like tunnel vision. No, take the blinders off and say, man, we're in this as a community. We are singing together. We're worshiping God together. Man, it's like I want to spiritually put my arms around people, and we're going to sing this together as one people. We address one another with psalms and hymns, and that builds up the fellowship. It's not just me and my little voice singing before God. We're community. We're community in God. And that will help your singing. I think it really will. If we just say, man, we're in this together. And I'm going to pray these words for each other. I remember this one guy. I was in seminary chapel. This is back when I was in seminary. And this guy, he was in one of my classes. I think he was in my Hebrew class. And I just happened to walk over to the chapel with him. And I got next to him. And man, this guy had the loudest voice. It was almost annoying. And it was like, you know, I was like, man, this voice, I'm like, I'm singing, and I'm like, whoa, I'm like being blown over by the decibels. And, I was like, man, this is filling up half the chapel, or at least I thought so. But then, you know, it struck me. I watched him, and maybe it was loud, but he was so in love with God, like in the music. He was just singing his heart out. And it doesn't mean we have to be like, you know, I'm going to scream, you know. It doesn't mean that at all. But it does, I was impressed, though, because I'm like, I'm a little more self-conscious, you know, like at the time, I'm like, wow, you know, if somebody... But here's the thing, it doesn't mean we have to go crazy, but it does mean, man, sing with that word gusto coming from your soul, from deep down. I'm not just getting in here straggling like I didn't have my coffee, you know. I don't know what to do. I don't know where I am. All right, I guess people are singing on stage. I guess I'm going to sing now. You know, I say, no, I'm here to worship God. This is a great part of my day. In school, I don't sing praise songs to God with my class, unless you're in a Christian school, maybe. But you're like, this is the time of the week where you can sing, and you can sing to the Lord, and you can worship Him. And man, and you know, just sing with that gusto from your soul. It doesn't mean you have to blow somebody over. It's okay if you're kind of off pitch. That's all right. This is not a perfect place. This is not utopia. This is the place where you can actually be free and we can still love each other, right? So it's okay if you're off pitch. It's not. I am all the time. Deacon Tony probably is covering his ears, and so you know, it's just, hey, man, I want to sing to the Lord from down low. We're one body, brothers and sisters. One of the books I've been reading through for this series, I mentioned it last time. Michael's been reading it well recently as well. It's called Sing. It's just called Sing. It's by Keith and Kristen Getty. And I want to give you a quote here from them. If you can throw that up there. Let's see. I think it's the one after. Yes, there it is. Okay, thanks, Cassie. They say this, our singing, even when it joyfully falls off pitch, so they know that happens, right? But it joyfully falls off pitch, should always unapologetically contribute to our sense of family and community and never be rushed through, mumbled through, or handed over to the professionals. Putting community unity before personal preferences, this is making a powerful and attractive statement to those who yearn for community. That's a wonderful quote there, if you're actually thinking about it, right? So, man, I'm not just leaving it to the professionals. Like, there's, you know, there's smoke up here, and it's a concert, everybody's dark down here, and, you know, I saw a funny joke about this. There's some churches where, man, they're so loud, so incredibly loud, and then the worship leader comes up and it says, hey, I can't hear you singing. And then someone out there says, I can't hear me singing either, because it's so loud. I'm like, I can't hear myself sing. I don't even know what I'm singing because it's so incredibly loud. And that's not the biblical idea of worship. Worship, and I'm so glad our church does it right, because we sing, but then we can all hear ourselves sing together. And that's why we should sit close together, right? We can hear each other sing, and we're singing as a family, as a community, right? And we're worshiping to God as a church together, as a family. So we want to contribute to a sense of family. It's not something to be handed over to the professionals, although they're so professional, aren't these guys? They're so good. But we're not handing it over to, like, here, the worship's just for the professionals, and all of us who can't sing, we just have to stumble through it. No, we just, oh, man, we just let loose, no matter our skill. And I'm glad these guys are skilled. I think skill is good, but it's a community act. And the Gettys were making, in that quote, if you can put that quote back up there, Cassie, they were making this point. You know, no one is, I don't think anybody's 100%, unless you just love the song, like always attracted to every song we sing. Everybody has, at the bottom of that quote, personal preferences. I like this style more. I like this speed more. I like this, you know, this octave more. You know, everybody has personal preferences. But here's the thing. For me, we're singing biblically saturated songs. If we're singing songs that glorify the Lord, this is a wonderful statement. There's so many people in our world today who yearn for community and family. And when we set aside our personal preferences and we sing everybody saying, I'm going to sing together. It may not be my number one choice of a song, but we're going to sing together because we're praising the Lord and we're a family. People are drawn to that. They see everybody singing with gusto and singing together. They're like, wow, this church is really together. They have a sense of family. And that's what we need. And that's what God is calling us to. You know, this yearning for community. Well, people can see that in singing. And, you know, I've never really thought a whole lot about that. You know, people see fellowship, like in our fellowship time, our Sunday schools, then we're talking, and we're eating snacks, and we're fellowshipping. But this is also a sense of community as well, a fellowship, our singing together. And that really stood out to me. That's just amazing. It's beautiful. So sing, church. We're a church family. Now, secondly, we also sing in community. I just call it the home family. At home, we also should sing. Now, some of you have unsaved parents. unsaved brothers and sisters, but we should try to also sing at our dwelling place, at our home, as much as we can, especially for parents who are Christians, who have children still under your roof. Be a singing family. You know, I always joke with my wife, like, we, a few times I'm like, let's get up and let's make this the whole day a musical. So we're just going to sing the entire day. And then we just kind of laugh and don't do it for a minute, and then we're, I'm brushing my teeth today. You know, like, everything we say is going to be a musical, you know? You know, it's just going to be, we're just going to sing, and we joke about that, right? Wouldn't that be funny if we just sang everything today? We go to work, and we just sing everything. Well, in some sense, spiritually, metaphorically, that's, we should be a song on our heart throughout the day. We should be always ready to burst into song. We want that in our heart. We want that in our soul. And it starts at home. Get up in the morning, you know, if you're feeling down, try to get, you know, maybe get some coffee first, because nobody can do much of anything without coffee, at least I can't. You know, get your coffee, get yourself awake, and then, like, I'm going to sing, you know, or I'm gonna force myself to sing and lift up my heart, you know. We should sing, be a singing family in Christ. And I've been trying, as I said in this series, I've been trying to be more intentional about singing, you know, at home. And especially with little kids, I realize, I mean, I can talk to them with my words. I can kind of give them a lecture. Hey, guys, let's study the Bible. Let's just give me 5 minutes. Let's read the Bible, Elijah and Sadie and Karis, which 5 minutes is a great accomplishment if you have little kids, if you know that, 7, 5, and 2. 5 minutes sitting straight and sitting normally, that's an accomplishment. We're going to sing the scripture. But I realize sometimes if I'm just like washing the dishes and I'm like, okay, I'm going to start singing. You know, they're kind of drawn to that as much as they can be with an unprofessional voice. But they're sort of drawn to the melody, and the kids pick up things very quickly through song. And I think we all do, right? Songs are poetic, and they help you memorize things. And they're very good with children at home. And even if your children are gone, you're empty nesters, your children, just sing. Just sing scriptural songs at home. It kind of lifts up the spirit and the soul of the house. And we know this. We know, Miss Kathy knows this. When you teach songs to kids, right, VBS songs, the B-I-B-L-E, the fruit of the spirit's not a coconut, right? Kids remember that stuff. And even if they have no idea what it means, it's now in their heart because it's set to a song. And then later in life, I'm telling you, I probably know like 30 songs by heart that I learned when I was like 7 because I was in a Christian family, a Christian church, Christian school, and I got all those songs. And I'm like, you're like a sponge at that age. You just remember them and you retain them. Yeah, so for even young kids, it's so important to teach them truths. Even if they don't understand what they're saying at this point, they don't care. Those songs will be in their heart. And a lot of you know that. You can go back to Miss Kathy and be like, hey, I remember the song. Like, and we know that, right? So it is a sense of worshiping together as a family when we can sing. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is the famous passage, Deuteronomy 6, of instructing our families. Famous passage, Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall teach them, that's important there for us as singing Christians. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. And when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. So as parents, and I'm learning this, and some of you are not married yet, but someday you may have kids. I want to teach people God's word about Christ. And as we walk, as we lie down, as we sit, I want to teach people the words of Scripture. And so I realized, like, man, this is not just talking. This is also singing, right? Sometimes talking, like, I've been talking all day to them. It doesn't get through. Hey, everybody, let's sing a song. Let's go sing a song about Christ. Very simple, right? Very simple, maybe before they go to bed. We're going to sing, you know, the B-I-B-L-E. You know, we're going to sing the fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut, right? Then we can talk about, why isn't the fruit of the Spirit a coconut? Good question, all right? Then we can have a little devotion time with the kids, right? And so, you know that, Priscilla, right? You know that song perfectly. I can see you laughing, right? So, no, I know. It's all these songs stick in my, and I'm like, man, I can remember when I was 7, all these songs in my heart. And that's part of parents instructing the kids. And so we want to encourage that. But not just the kids, but teenagers and adults, man, to have those songs in our head. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Proverbs as well. I don't have any specific verses from Proverbs, but Proverbs make clear we're to raise our kids in the admonition and instruction of the Lord. And so part of that, again, is singing, and I'm putting this together myself. I'm like, singing. It's all over the Old Testament, New Testament. Singing is all over if you actually look at it. Singing is part of the instruction. It does something differently in our souls when we do that. And the thing, too, for deacons or pastors, there's qualifications to be a pastor and a deacon. Part of that is managing your house well. That's what Scripture says. It sounds so businesslike. Manage your house well. I think what that means is bring your family up to Christ. Bring them up in the Lord. Again, that's for me. That's for Deacon Tony. That's for those in leadership. And really, it's for everybody, because those aren't just for pastors and deacons, really, if you look at it. That should be for every Christian, right? We need to set the tone. And if some of you children here, you're teenagers, if you're like, my parents are not Christians, hey, you be a singing person at home. Maybe that'll affect the spirit of your parents. Maybe that'll do something. And so be a singing family. Be a singing family at home. A good way of remembering. In the Old Testament, the concept of remembering. The Bible says this all the time in the Old Testament. The prophets say it. Psalms say it. They say, remember what God has done for you. In fact, that's what we do with Jesus Christ. When I'm going through my day, remember what Christ has done for me. Remember. That concept of remembering is not just something like, I forgot how to do this math problem because I forgot the equation, so let me go look it up. Remembering has this thought of, remember the totality of what God has done. I'm always bringing to mind, that's what it is, this sense of what God has done for me. And song, and putting something to rhyme and poetry brings that out. I've memorized scripture without any song, and it's done okay. But some of the scriptures I remember just because I remembered a song to it. There's a few songs. I remember 1 John. There's certain passages that I know them, and the first thing that comes to my mind is a song. I know it because of a song. And so just, man, it lifts your heart. It gets you close to God. Be those who sing to the Lord. Thirdly, so we talked about worshiping in community, in song, as a family, as a church family, first of all, and secondly, as a home family, a house family, your physical family. And thirdly, lastly, we as a church, we sing on mission. We sing on mission. Our singing also has a missional component to it. And this is something that really hit home with me, just going through this. I mentioned it briefly last time. I hope when people who don't really go to our church, maybe don't know who Christ is, don't understand Christianity, when they see people singing together loudly and with passion for their love for God, they would say, what is this? Who is this God that you would sing to? And you're all singing together. And you're not like at a concert drunken and on drugs and rocking around. You're really into this. You're focused. And these words are sort of otherworldly. There's something heavenly about these words. We hope and pray that people would be captivated. They would be captivated by what we sing and what we do, by the testimony of our singing and our words. Who is this Jesus who would die for people and bring them back to God? How can we be made right with God? It should be a terrific witness to those around us. Now, what does it say? Think about this. Think about your singing. I want you to really think about this because I have to think about this too. Listen, I was a teenager too, and I many times was up to like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd stumble into church. So that's another sermon, like preparing yourself for Sunday on Saturday night. That's another sermon. How do I prepare myself for Sunday morning worship? And I come in, and I'd be like, where's my donut? You know, and I, blah, blah, blah. I'm singing, blah, blah, blah. When can I get out of here? When can I do my own thing? When's my video game? March Madness is on TV. You know, blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing. If we're all like that and people walk into this service and they look around and people are just blah, 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 they're going to be like, I don't know what these people are doing here. If someone walks into this service, it's not a believer, doesn't go to church, they'd be like, these people, why should I care about God? Because these people don't. They're just blah, blah, blah. And it's not saying you have to be jumping up and down and have to be crazy. It's just, I'm singing. My mouth is moving. I've got singing with passion. And if people are just looking around like, man, these people are just like, they're just asleep. It doesn't, the witness for God. Think about your witness to God. Man, do they actually believe what they're singing? Why would they think it's a good thing? And so, man, just sing. Just sing openly and freely and pray for those around you. That's a testimony. Even to many who are in our church who've been here for years, it's a testimony. It's a testimony to Jesus and to the church and to the world. Look at this passage, Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. This famous passage of the end times of heaven. John is seeing a vision from God. He says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one can number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, every ethnicity, every culture, every singing kind of style, maybe, you know, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb of God. And maybe they're singing this. It just says they cried out. But maybe they're singing. They probably do sing because we're singing people. And so they're singing to God. And man, this is amazing. Every tribe, tongue, and nation. Every people group. And it shows the heart of God. He wants to reach people. And through our singing and our song, we're today, this morning, across the world, we are praising God in different languages, different styles. You know, there's black gospel, there's Latino, there's really old classic hymns, there's contemporary. What we did here is blended, right? There is all kinds of styles. And man, if they're biblical and done well, they are all to the praise of the glory of God. And that, again, that's why we set aside personal preferences sometimes. If it's biblical and it's solid, we worship God together. And we're going to be doing that forever. Different expressions. It's amazing. And we're going to be around the throne one day. I'm not sure, you ever thought about what kind of style will we be singing in heaven?
I don't know. Maybe it's the heavenly style, which we have never heard before. I don't know, like, it's something greater than we've all, you know.
It's definitely 1800 hymns, 1800s, you know. It's that's it, you know, that's it. Or it's, you know, it's only Southern bluegrass gospel. That's probably all of it, right? Who knows? Who knows, right? But
prepare ourselves for heaven. That's for heaven. And look at this. I got to look at this passage. I have time. I got to end in a couple minutes, but I have time. Look at this passage. I've never thought about this before. From 2 Chronicles. It'll be on the screen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting in verse 20. And this is the people of God. And there was going to be a battle, okay? And the Lord God is going out before his people to go to this battle. And look what it says here. The people of God rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went out. Jehoshaphat, who was the king at the time, he stood and said, hear me, Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those, notice this, who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for a steadfast love endures forever. And they would sing that. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of their inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. Isn't that crazy? So they won this battle through a song, so to say, right? So Jehoshaphat is like, all right, so like Brian, you know, Joe, Leo, and Michael, all right, you guys, you're going to go before the army, all right? So we got all our spears and shields. But first of all, because you guys are so good at fighting, we're going to send the singers in their choir gowns, sort of like what's happening, right? And you guys are just going to go and sing praise to the Lord. And this is awesome. God fought for them. It's like they didn't even lift a finger. It was just like an ambush, right? They fought. God sent the singers ahead, and they were praising God. And here's the thing. This is so missional. It's so for the church. Man, we're involved in spiritual warfare all the time, man. Our own sins, Satan's coming against us. Push back with singing. Push back with singing the truths of God and the gospel. Remember, it's God who ultimately fights our battles. We can't fight our battles on our own. We can't do it. It's impossible. We don't have that power. God fights our battles, and we leave the results, whatever happens to him, we know he works all things for good. So sing. Sing to be a witness to others. Sing as you, maybe you're going and driving to work, you're like, I got a tough meeting today with the boss. Sing on the way to work, right? Sing to the Lord. Lord, you're great. You're in control of the situation. I'm going to sing a song today. And just push forward. That's amazing that they just sang and they were ambushed. Martin Luther said this, the famous reformer, he said this, music is a gift and a grace of God, not an invention of man. Thus it drives out the devil and makes people cheerful. The devil, the originator of sorrowful anxiety and restless troubles, flees before the sound of music almost as much as before the word of God. It's a pretty good quote, right? You know, so you're, I got these anxieties. Man, okay, Lord, I'm gonna stop. I'm just gonna praise you right now. Man, you're pushing back the kingdom of darkness. It's God working in you. If you're singing biblical scriptural songs. Now, Martin Luther's not meaning like, you know, this is not secular, like, bad lyrics. He's not saying music in general. What he's saying is biblical scriptural music. Just like if it's going out, it's like pushing back the armies of Satan. Because I'm putting my hope in God, and I'm going to sing boldly. I'm going to sing loudly. And I'm going to sing. If I'm going to my death, I'm singing. I'm singing for the Lord. So go out and mission. So we sing because the gospel compels us to sing. We sing individually. We sing as a family. And we sing on mission. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, help us be singing people, not just sing because we sing. We are created to sing, Lord. That is our nature because you're a singing God. The angels sing. You told us to sing in Scripture. But Lord, that we love and we want to make music from our hearts, this melody of salvation. We want to sing because we want to praise you and lift your name. And when life is hard to cope with, we sing about our troubles. We sing about our sorrows. And then we turn that over to you and we know that you're good. Just as David did in the Psalms, we sing to you. Help us sing as a community. Help us sing as a family. Help us sing on mission, Lord. I pray for anyone in here who does not know Christ as Savior. They can't sing to you, Lord. I pray that today they would say, yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm lost in my sins. I need to repent and give my life to Christ who came and died for me. He literally died in my place on a cross. And I pray that they would give their life to Christ today, knowing that he's risen from the dead and is alive and is King. And Lord, for us who are Christians, Lord, help us look around and encourage each other to sing and to sing passionately for the Lord. In your son's name we pray. Amen.